Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to present as well. So I'm going to share with you work that's not from the U.S., it's from Guatemala, that we've done as part of our work for the project. So the Food and Nutrition Technical Assistance Project is funded through USAID, which is the global development arm for the U.S. government, essentially. And we are tasked with providing technical assistance with all of the different missions and governments in different countries where we may have a U.S. embassy and there might be activities in country to undertake or improve the nutrition situation. So it depends a little bit where we are. In Guatemala, one of the key things was to really work on improving the nutrition situation, but in order to do so, improving the health financing for nutrition to be able to do so. So just to get started, I have no relationships to disclose. So the problem in Guatemala is that there's a very high prevalence of chronic malnutrition, which is essentially reflected or manifested as stunting in children. So children are extremely short for age, and this is really a cumulative result of poor nutrition in childhood. Before the child turns 2 years of age, they don't get enough food, they have poor hygiene, repeated infections, and that means that they don't grow as well. And when they don't grow as well, that has long-term consequences for how well they do in school, how well they perform in terms of achieving higher levels of education and higher wages in the future as well. So in Guatemala, almost half of all children under five are stunted, so they're chronically malnourished. And in the Western Highland regions, which are really the more remote areas of the country where there's a predominant indigenous population, a native population, the stunting prevalence can reach as high as 82%. So 8 out of 10 children are shorter than they should be and really can't achieve their full potential. And what we know globally is that the best time to intervene in terms of preventing chronic malnutrition is before the age of 2, or what we refer to globally as the first 1,000 days. So the consequences of malnutrition in childhood is that nearly half of all child mortality under the age of 5 is attributable to various forms of malnutrition. And among these, stunting or chronic malnutrition is one of the leading causes of under 5 child mortality. All forms of malnutrition, stunting and anemia, other forms of malnutrition, also increase the risk of infections. They adversely impact children's cognitive development, which results in them doing worse in school. They have poor school performance. They don't do as well on reading tests or math tests. They enroll later in school. They're older coming into school. There are more days out of school because they're sick very often. And in the end, they have fewer years of schooling. So children, globally, we know that children who are stunted and poor can lose up to 4 years of schooling as a result of being stunted and poor, which means that they don't complete high school, which means that they can't go on to have higher wages, and there are some long-term impacts that we have to think about. The other risk is that children who are chronically malnourished or stunted in childhood are also at increased risk of chronic diseases in adulthood. So this could be cardiovascular disease, and those are some of the risks that countries have to face as they go forward because it affects quite a large proportion of the population. So in Guatemala, one of the main causes of stunting is really a result of poor infant and young child feeding practices before a child turns the age of 2. This is largely due to poverty and lack of access to the variety of foods that they need to be fed during that age. There's inadequate dietary diversity. They don't get fruits and vegetables. They're predominantly receiving staple foods. They don't have access to clean water or sanitation. There's lack of hygiene as a result of that, and also very limited or virtually no access to health services. And food insecurity is also a very big problem in these regions. But the government of Guatemala has committed to reducing stunting in children, and they recognize the importance of doing so. They've established what's called the Pacto Hombre Cero, which may change because there's a new government in country now, but essentially the government commitment to nutrition is pretty firm. But one thing that's been a challenge is that even though the government is very committed, they've only allocated about 2.4% of its gross domestic product, so the national budget, to health, and that's really the lowest in all of Latin America. But within that, only 0.15% of the GDP is allocated to nutrition. So you have 82% stunting, but really no funding for nutrition to improve the nutrition situation in the country. So we set out to ask a few key questions that the government was very interested in having an answer to. Part of the problem was the lack of investment suggested that we needed to find out how much would it cost to provide comprehensive maternal and child nutrition services to prevent stunting in childhood in Guatemala. What would the level of, or what should the level of investment be as we go forward? So our objective was quite straightforward. We were trying to estimate the cost of scaling up comprehensive preventive maternal and child nutrition services to be provided by the Ministry of Health to achieve the government of Guatemala's vision of the Pacto Embracero, which really was, their vision is really to reduce stunting by almost over the 10 years, maybe about 25%, quite a significant proportion. But in order to do that, they probably need to invest more in terms of nutrition service delivery. So the key methods that we used for this study was to use an approach called activity-based costing methodology. It's used, it has been used by the U.S. government, it has been used in the private sector, really to estimate the cost of providing an intervention or a set of interventions, what would it cost to then scale it up to reach the whole population. So this was something we did in close partnership with the Ministry of Finance, and that was one thing that was very helpful to do because they are in charge of the national budget, and they're in charge of presenting it to the Parliament, or like our Congress. So if more monies are going to be made available for nutrition, engaging with them, they were key stakeholders in the process. We identified the set of nutrition-specific and nutrition-sensitive interventions to be costed by geographic area and by the service delivery type. And this was important because the government has established the sets of interventions that they want to invest in, and they're sort of proven global interventions in nutrition. So then the issue is, if those interventions work, how much would it cost to make them available across the country? We had to do some primary data collection across several departments or states within Guatemala to really determine the amount of time people or staff are really spending on providing nutrition services at the moment for each of those interventions, because in many cases they really don't have any required time that they have to spend on it, so it's an expectation that they'll do some services in nutrition, but there really isn't much service delivery in nutrition going on. What we were able to do is to get calculate the unit costs, which were then aggregated for the first baseline year of 2012, and then based on that we were able to estimate what it would cost through 2013 to 2021, assuming that we expanded the coverage to the population that was eligible, meaning women and children under the age of 5. So in terms of the methods, these are just a few other points about the methods that we used. The interventions that we selected were those that were identified by the government in the Pacto Embracero, or the Zero Hunger Pact. The specific interventions that were costed included the promotion of maternal nutrition during prenatal care, promotion of exclusive breastfeeding until 6 months of age, and continued breastfeeding to 2 years or beyond, promotion of complementary feeding and provision of fortified blended flour to improve nutrition, and the provision of micronutrients for mothers and children, growth monitoring and nutritional management of sick children, management of acute malnutrition at the community level, which is when children become sick quite suddenly and lose weight rapidly. That's what we refer to as acute malnutrition. And nutrition-sensitive interventions included monitoring the quality of water and vaccinations. So as I mentioned, we did do a survey, but that was really to get a sense for how much time people spend on delivering nutrition services or interventions. And this could be in the form of, say, counseling for antenatal care or counseling for infant and young child feeding practices. The unit cost really consisted of providing one health visit. For example, one antenatal visit was what we calculated as the unit cost for a particular individual. The coverage estimates that we used were based on the government monitoring system, depending on how widely they were able to cover different mothers and children of the services that they delivered in 2012. And if that information was not available, we used other population-based surveys to help serve as a proxy to calculate what the difference would be in terms of what the current coverage might be for that particular intervention. So this graphic basically describes some of the steps that we went through to get to the final set of estimates that we generated for the study. We really focused on selecting the interventions based on what the government had outlined in its policies and plans. We then went on to gathering the data and classifying the data and organizing it so that we could parse it out into the different interventions and activities that were being conducted. We estimated the time that staff were spending on each of the activities in terms of a full-time percentage of full-time equivalent. We were then able to consolidate the total cost so that we could have the unit cost and ultimately the total cost of the intervention, we were able to calculate the unit cost, which by intervention based on the current services, which allowed us to then calculate the total cost of interventions and finally consolidate all of the costs. And those were the aspects that we did under the ABC method of costing. And in addition, we did some gap analysis to estimate what would it cost us to provide those interventions, assuming that we met national standards. So for example, on average, women might receive one antenatal care visit, but the government standard is that they should receive four. So if they were really receiving the services at the level that you would expect them to receive, and you covered all of the women that you would need to cover in those communities, what would it cost us? And then we were able to project based on population projections forward from 2013 to 2021. So what we found essentially was that there was a huge underinvestment in the amount of funding required for nutrition from the government. So the amount in the national budget was only about one-third of what was really required. It was really not adequate. And one of the key things is that if sufficient annual resources were not made available, the budget shortfall would have continued to grow, and that's what it seemed to indicate. The other thing we found was that a lot of investment has been made in Guatemala on, say, vaccinations or improving access to or tracking safe water, but there hasn't really been a lot of investment in improving nutrition service delivery for specific interventions like antenatal care or improving infant and young child feeding practices. So really, almost 77% of the budget going forward would need to be allocated to nutrition-specific services and not really just nutrition-sensitive services. So this graph essentially shows you the difference, the actual funding gap for nutrition. If you look at the red line, that's actually what the government projections are going forward over the next 10 years. That's how much they estimate needing to spend. But what they actually need to spend is about 2.5 times that amount. So they're far underinvested in the sector. So some of the implications and recommendations were that there's an overarching need for the government to increase investment in nutrition in order for them to really achieve their targets on reducing stunting. Some of the things we found was that they could do this by both increasing investment in nutrition and the health sector more broadly, both at the national and at the municipal levels where they have local government, increasing tax revenue, increasing and also undertaking some costing exercises throughout the next 5 to 10 years to get a sense for how they're doing in terms of spending money on nutrition. And one of the key things is also to strengthen the health infrastructure, particularly for at the secondary and primary level. The primary level is sort of the very frontline clinics where people come to receive primary care services. And a lot of the funding for that, though, comes at the secondary level. So vaccinations are held at the secondary level. And these are sort of the intermediary clinics between the tertiary level hospitals and the primary level health facilities in the country. So in order to do that, there needed to be much more infrastructure, both at the primary and secondary level, and a much bigger focus on preventive services and not just treatment-focused services. One of the other things that would be helpful was to promote policies to support nutrition goals by including nutrition within other maternal and child health policies and programs and services, working really in a multi-sectoral way to link nutrition-specific and nutrition-sensitive programming so it's a more integrated approach, and also strengthen nutrition programming by sort of improving the capacity for service delivery and competencies of staff and human resources so that services are actually available, strengthening supervision and expanding really both the coverage and the quality of services being provided. And that's it. Thank you.